Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 1. The Curse upon the Yadu Dynasty. Text number 3.
Bhubhara Raja Pritana Yadu Bhinirasya.
Bhubhara Raja Pritana Yadu Bhinirasya.
Guptaisva bahu pirachintaya daprameyaha.
Guptaisva bahu pirachintaya daprameyaha.
Manyeva nena nugato vyagatam hibaram.
Manyeva nena nugato vyagatam hibaram.
Yadyadavam kuramaho avishayamaste.
Yadyadavam kuramaho avishayamaste.
Bhubhara Raja Pritana Yadu Bhinirasya.
Bhubhara Raja Pritana Yadu Bhinirasya.
Guptaisva Bahu Bhirachintaya Daprameyaha.
Guptaisva Bahu Bhirachintaya Daprameyaha.
Manye vanena nugato pyagatam hibaram.
Manye vanena nugato pyagatam hibaram.
Yadyadavam kulamaho avishayamaste.
Yadyadavam kulamaho avishayamaste.
Bhubhara Raja Pritana Yadu Bhinirasya.
Bhubhara Raja Pritana Yadu Bhinirasya.
Guptaisva Bahu Bhirachintaya Daprameyaha.
Guptaisva Bahu Bhirachintaya Daprameyaha.
Manye Vanena Nugato Pyagatam Hibharam.
Manye Vanena Nugato Pyagatam Hibharam.
Yadyadavam kulamaho avishayamaste.
Yadyadavam kulamaho avishayamaste.
Bhubhara.
Bhubhara.
Existing as the burden of the earth.
Existing as the burden of the earth.
Raja.
Raja.
Of the kings.
Of the kings.
Pittanaha.
Pittanaha.
The armies.
The armies.
Yadubhi,
Yadubhi,
by the Yadus,
by the Yadus.
Nirasya,
Nirasya,
eliminating,
eliminating.
Guptai,
Guptai,
protected.
Protected.
Svabahubhi,
Svabahubhi,
by his own arms,
by his own arms.
Achintaya,
Achintaya,
he considered,
he considered.
Aprameyaha,
Aprameyaha,
the unfathomable Lord.
The unfathomable Lord.
Manye.
Manye.
I think.
I think.
Avane.
Avane.
Of the earth.
Of the earth.
Nanu.
Nanu.
One may say.
One may say.
Gataha.
Gataha.
It is gone.
It is gone.
Api.
Api.
But.
But.
Agatam.
Agatam.
It is not gone.
It is not gone.
He.
He.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Bharam,
bharam,
the burden,
the burden.
Yat,
yat,
because,
because.
Yadavam,
yadavam,
of Yadus,
of Yadus.
Kulam,
kulam,
the dynasty,
the dynasty.
Aho,
aho,
ah,
ah,
ah, as in ah,
ah, as in ah,
aha,
ah,
ah, ah, ah. Avishahyam,
avishahyam,
intolerable,
intolerable.
Aste,
aste,
remains.
Remains.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead used the Yadu dynasty the Supreme Personality of Godhead used the Yadu dynasty which was protected by his own arms, to eliminate the kings who with their armies had been the burden of this earth. Then the unfathomable Lord thought to himself, although some may say that the earth's burden is now gone, in my opinion it is not yet gone, because there still remains the Yadava dynasty itself, whose strength is unbearable for the earth. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has remarked in this regard that although ordinary people might think that the Lord had now removed the burden of the earth by killing the demons, re-establishing dharma and so on, Lord Sri Krishna himself could detect that there was further danger from the irreligious activities of his own family members who were acting improperly. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that a just king will punish his own son if his son actually deserves punishment. Thus, although in the eyes of the world the members of the Lord's own dynasty are always worshipable, Lord Krishna detected that by their intimate association with him, some members of the Yadu dynasty had become indifferent to his will. Since such whimsical members of the Yadu dynasty could act freely, being relatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they would surely cause great misfortune for the world, and foolish persons would take such whimsical behaviour to be the will of Krishna. Thus the Lord, whose desires are inconceivable, began to consider the need to annihilate the indifferent, contemptuous members of the Yadu family. There's more in this purport, but I'll just comment on this. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Garim Yatripata Mahambande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So we can see, even in Krishna's family, personalities who have a very close connection with Krishna can misbehave. Mahatma, are you okay? Yep. Ordinarily, a very close connection with Krishna means that one manifests the symptom of a servant. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasava Britja. Krishna is the supreme controller. There's only one controller. Ekale Ishvara. There's only one controller, and that controller is Krishna. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasava Britja. But everybody else is a servant. Very important point. Basic point. Fundamental principle of Krishna consciousness. And fundamental principle of Krishna's appearance. Krishna appears to demonstrate his prowess or his personality as the Ishvara, as the controller, as the source of everything. Aham savasya prabhava mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. The Krishna says, I am the source of everything, both material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. He's the source of everything. He's the controller of everyone. And the wise who understand this principle, or understand Krishna's personality, his character, his attributes, his identity, basically, his identity, know that they're his servants. This is self-realization. It means to understand the supremacy of God, but then understand what our relationship is with him. Yet we can see here that sometimes in the association, even of those persons who recognize that God is the Ishvara or the controller, the devotees can become too familiar. Here in the purport it's mentioned contemptuous. The devotees who are translating the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's disciples, because the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam wasn't translated by Prabhupada, but they're quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. They're translating the commentary of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that even though the Yadus are intimately associated with Krishna, that means that they recognize that Krishna is the supreme controller, that he is God. But because of their familiar relationship with Krishna, they've become contemptuous. Some of them, not all of them. Just like we find in the association of devotees. Not everybody's in Maya, fortunately. But sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens to us. Because one of the good things about staying in the association of the devotees is that, you know, we may occasionally get confused, but by staying in the association of the devotees, at least we'll be shaken out of our confusion. Krishna will shake us, or the other devotees. Krishna's representatives will shake us. Wake up. But we can see here that, you know, proximity to somebody doesn't necessarily mean intimacy. Right? Proximity, close, you know, just physical closeness doesn't mean necessarily that, you know, we're really intimate. Prabhupada mentions, you know, that even though my spiritual master has passed away, apparently, passed away. He said, I never feel separation from my guru because I'm always remembering his instructions. And by following his instructions, I always feel like I'm very close to him. I don't feel his absence. And Prabhupada mentions, you know, that in the absence of the spiritual master, the spiritual master's instructions are the pride of the disciple. Right? Pride of the disciple. So, Krishna had a plan. Krishna has a plan. We're trying to work out what Krishna's plan is. Not so easy. Right? It's not so easy sometimes to work out what is Krishna's plan. What is happening to me? Why am I getting smashed? Why isn't everybody treating me like the exalted devotee that I actually am? Don't they know who I am? Actually, behind all the movements, Krishna is the controller. Ekale Ishvara Krishna. Was it Ishvaraha Sabhabhutanam, Hridesha Arjuna Chishtati, Brahmayan Sabhabhutanam, Jantra Rudhani Mayaya, that Krishna mentions in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that I'm situated in everybody's heart. And I'm directing the wanderings of all of the living entities who are situated as if on a machine made of the material energy. But sometimes it's difficult for us to ascertain what is Krishna's plan. And we fail to see in the movements of the different living entities Krishna's hand in everything. But we should always understand and appreciate, this is what it means to be Krishna conscious, that there is nothing that doesn't have a connection with Krishna. Everything is connected to Krishna. And one who's a devotee can see everything, or shall we say a pure devotee, or a purer devotee, maybe than others, right, is able to see or ascertain or appreciate Krishna's presence within everything. You know, that's one of the reasons why Krishna appears, is to demonstrate his prowess, his potency. Although not necessarily the primary reason. You know, it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, paritranaya saudunam vinashaya chaduskritam. So Krishna, in the Krishna book, and we see in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, a lot of the time Krishna is killing demons. Huh? And here we see, again, a very sort of, what should we say, is it belligerent? Belligerent, the right kind of word? Fighting, you know, belligerent means, okay, come on, fight. So we see, again, this is sort of like it's a fighting situation. Right? We've got all of these armies, they're a huge burden on the planet, and even though it's Krishna's family, Krishna has to think, how can we remove the Yadus? Some of them have become liabilities. Instead of being an asset to Krishna's plan, now the Yadus, some of them, have become a liability. And in the beginning, we read in the beginning of the, I mentioned this the other day in the class, that in the beginning of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, Bhumi goes to the earth, goes to the head of the demigods, Lord Brahma, and she's greatly perturbed and disturbed by the burden of the belligerent atheistic kshatriyas that are exploiting her facility. So she goes to Lord Brahma and she puts her petition. And Prabhupada mentions, you know, that whenever there's a disturbance in any of the planets, in any of the planetary systems, then the ruler, the ruling deity of that planet, can go to the head of the demigods and petition for assistance. And then Lord Brahma went to the milk ocean, to Svetadvip, and then he offered his prayers to Lord Vishnu. All the demigods went, and Lord Brahma offered prayers to Lord Vishnu, and then they waited for a sign from the Lord. And then through the heart, Lord Brahma received information from Lord Vishnu, and he told all of the demigods, go and take your birth in the family of the Yadus in preparation for my appearance. And we will come to relieve the burden of the earth. We'll remove these kshatriyas that are causing this great anxiety for Mother Bhumi. So all of the demigods then took their places in the family of the Yadus and other friends of the who was it? Ugrasen. No, not Ugrasen. Surasen. Right? Surasen. Ugrasen was, that was Kamsa's, that was Kamsa's side. Right? What does Ugra mean? Angry. Yeah, mean. Ugra. Ugra karma means bad karma. Right? Ugrasen, and then there's Surasen. Sura means he's a devotee, right? Demigod. So they took birth in the family of the devotees. Of course, the demons found out, and so the demons, they took birth in all of the enemy's family. They're all lining up for a big battle, basically, because this is Krishna's arrangement. Vinasaya chaduskritam. His plan was to remove these unwanted belligerent soldiers, armies, the exploiters, if you like. So now, at the end of all of these pastimes, the Battle of Kurukshetra has been fought, the Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, his family has been annihilated, Kamsa and all of these other enemies of the Yadus and the families allied with the Surasen and other devotees, they've been established as the rulers, and so it appears that everything has now been achieved. But Krishna can see in the hearts of the Yadus, some of them, there's this contemptuous attitude. In other words, they're not thinking they're Krishna's servants, but rather they're thinking, you know, we are the enjoyers. This is the problem. And especially this can be a big problem because, you know, being Krishna's relatives, practically that made them then untouchable. Nobody could challenge them. So even though the relatives, the Yadus were Krishna's family, still he wasn't partial to them. Right? What Krishna says, Samoham. Sarvabhuteshu. I'm equal to everybody. So therefore, he didn't mind punishing them. Huh? Well, I remember when I was a boy, my father was a teacher. In fact, he was the headmaster of a number of the schools that we lived in. And of course, it was my good or bad fortune to also be his student. So, you know, not that we misbehaved very often, but occasionally we did misbehave. I think we got caught flicking leads around once. You know, we used to break open the pencils. And then, you know, you take the biro out of the big pen, take the pen part out, and you put the lead pencil and you break it up, you put it in, you go, and hit people with it. Did you ever do that at school? You all behaved yourselves. I hung out with the wrong crowd. Anyway, we got caught. So my father then had to give the cuts. You know, the cane came out. And you had to put your hand out. And then the headmaster, you would only go, the teacher, your class teacher could give you the blackboard ruler. Right? Which was, you know, you just laughed at the blackboard ruler. Ha ha ha, that's nothing. Then you got the cuts with the cane. Woo, that hurt. So my father had to punish us. So everybody else got two, but I got four. So just to show that he wasn't partial, he gave me extra mercy. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. So Krishna, despite the fact that these were his family members, and Krishna was thinking, okay, we have to now remove them. Right? They need to be silent. Put it on silent. You know, they've discovered that there are certain tones that you can put in mobile phones that the older you get, you can't hear them. They're called mosquito tones. And so, and I tried it. There's a site that you can go to where you click on the tone and it says, you know, over 50, over 60, over 45. I could hear the one that was 49, but underneath I couldn't hear it. So the kids, you know, the younger you are, you can actually hear it. So the kids in school have got these low tones that adults can't hear. So they know they're getting messages from their friends, but the teacher can't hear it. So there you go. You didn't hear that, did you? Krishna wanted to remove these whimsical members mentioned here. Since such whimsical members of the Yadu dynasty could act freely, being relatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they would surely cause great misfortune for the world. It's very interesting. In Chaitanya Leela, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda had children, but Lord Chaitanya didn't. No family members. Right? To avoid this problem. Even Advaita Acharya had sons. And I think one of them, at least one of them, possibly a couple of them, became Mayavadis. Huh? But, you know, because they're children of the Lord, then people will automatically follow them. Right? We see that in ISKCON sometimes, you know, that a devotee may be... for example, you may be a Prabhupada disciple, then automatically people will offer you respect. You may not behave properly, but because you're a Prabhupada disciple, then automatically people will give some deference. Right? Or, you know, you may be a 30-year-old devotee, so everybody says, oh, I'm open group. They offer you respect. You may be a big nonsense, but just because you've been around for 30 years, they think, oh, he's a wonderful devotee. So, Krishna could see that. These are my children, my family members, and because of that relationship, it's like some jati, Prabhupada actually talks about this, jati gosai, just a family lineage. And I'd say, for example, you're a brahmana, then your children become automatically respected as brahmanas. They behave like sudras, or less, worse, right? We see this in Prabhupada would say, you know, in India you see a man, his name might be Sharma, and you know, he's got a Brahmin thread on, but he's pulling a rickshaw. Huh? But because he has that birthright, if you like, then automatically he's offered some respect, yet he's not behaving properly. So similarly here, this is a problem. And Krishna could perceive that problem. It's an issue, especially within a spiritual family. As I said before, you know, intimacy means to follow the instructions, not just to be close in proximity. You know, we can be close to the deity, but still thinking all nonsense. The idea is if we're actually close to Krishna, that closeness will be determined by our service attitude. And that's, at least for my realization this week, is that that's the reason for Krishna's appearance, that Krishna wants to attract his devotees. And he wants to extract out of the heart of the devotees that tendency to act whimsically, or to act in contravention or in contempt, if you like, of his order, of his instruction. Krishna wants us all to be devotees, basically. That means recognizing his superior position and then following his instructions. That's what makes us close to Krishna. The person who follows his instruction. Therefore, Krishna has given us the Bhagavad Gita, for example. The most, Prabhupada says, most perfect, complete exposition of spiritual culture, of spiritual knowledge, of spiritual behavior. And this way Krishna then protects the devotees. Parichana. Krishna can kill the demons without having to do anything himself. He does, basically. Actually, as mentioned here, it's actually his Vasudev feature, four-armed Vishnu feature, that actually does the demon killing. Krishna himself much prefers to play with his friends in Vrindavan than kill demons. Of course, it's all part of... He'll kill the demons too, obviously, and that's also fun, right? For the cowherd boys, they think that's fantastic. Look what Krishna did. You know, they come home from the forest singing about how Krishna killed Agasura or Bakasura or Danukasura, how Krishna and Balaram killed a few demons today. Actually, Prabhupada mentions that Krishna and Balaram usually killed 4 or 5 or even 7 demons before lunchtime. That was just lunchtime. Up to lunchtime, that was the play, actually. To entertain the cowherd boys, basically. This is how we have our fun. But that killing of the demons is actually done by the Vasudev feature, the Vishnu feature, the loving, intimate exchanges of pure. Well, not that killing the demons isn't a pure activity for Krishna. The interesting thing for Krishna is, we were reading the other day, at the end of the 10th canto, it's described how there are 5 unique features in Krishna's pastimes. 5 unique features. And one of them was that Krishna not only benedicts his devotees, but those who are serving him, but he also benedicts the demons who are fighting with him. So everybody gets Krishna's mercy, whether he's punching them on the nose or kissing them on the cheek, they get the same result. So, Krishna's now planning how to finish up his pastimes. He had a plan for appearing, and now he's also preparing the plan for disappearing. Krishna has, you know, he thinks about these things. He makes plans. You know, there's that story, it just reminded me of reading it. Ravindra Swarup tells the story of how Prabhupada said, there will be a war between America and Russia. Nuclear war. This was in the 70s. And then after some time it cooled off. It obviously wasn't going to be a conflict. And the devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you told us that Krishna was going to arrange a war, and you know, how come it hasn't happened? And Prabhupada said, Krishna changed his mind. Krishna changed his mind. Ravindra, he tells an interesting story actually, how there were devotees in the Soviet Union, of course they were being persecuted, and in those early days of the preaching in Russia, you know, all of it was pretty much underground, but there were a group of devotees who were working on a farm, and this farm had all of the ripest and fresh produce in, you know, that particular part of Russia. And their job was to basically provide the produce for the Politburo, right? That was the top think tank, you know, the people in the Communist Party in Russia who made all of the decisions. And he said what they used to do is every time they sent a load of fruit, especially oranges and, you know, apples and so forth, they would then offer it to Krishna. Okay, let's offer the truck up. So he was making this point that, you know, that actually the leaders of the Communist Party in Russia at that time were eating prasadam. He said, maybe this is why Krishna changed his mind. Interesting. But anyway, Krishna has a plan. Right? He can change his mind too, if he wants to. Make a plan and then change it. Well, he's God. Why can't he do that? This is the real meaning of free will and determination. When God wants to do something, he does it. And if he wants to change his mind, no problem, he can change his mind. Reading on in the purport. From the viewpoint of ordinary persons, all the demons had been killed by the Supreme Lord's pastimes in Dwarka and Mathura, as well as by the battle of Kurukshetra, and the earth was now free of its burden. Yeah? So from the viewpoint of ordinary persons, this is what it's appeared. It appears that Krishna has fulfilled his plan. Nevertheless, to free the earth from the remaining burden of his own puffed up family members, Lord Sri Krishna transferred them away from the earth by causing a fratricidal quarrel among them. In this way, he prepared for his own disappearance from the earth. This happens amongst the devotees too sometimes. You know, we get puffed up and then we fight with each other. Huh? Have you noticed that? Probably you're all saintly persons, so this doesn't happen to you. But when we forget, we become too familiar with the devotees, and we become familiar with devotional service, then what we find is that in our dealings with others there's friction, right? Prabhupada mentions in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, just as in the forest, you know, in Bengal especially, they have forest with that bamboo, you know, that really big bamboo. You seen that? Do they have it in other parts of India?
In Vrindavan also.
In Vrindavan, do they? I know in Bengal they have these groves of just bamboos. And they're really big. Really big. And of course they hang all over each other. Then when the wind comes and blows through the bamboo, then the bamboo rubs against each other. And of course when they're rubbing together, what happens? Friction. Friction creates heat. Heat causes fire. Then there's a fire and they get burnt up. So we see that in social intercourse, social dealings. When somebody becomes too puffed up, then they, you know, they get in friction with others. And sometimes they have arguments, which is a bit like the fire. And that way we can commit offences. And then what happens then, our devotional creeper gets eroded. So Krishna doesn't like puffed up devotees, right? Here he doesn't like his puffed up family members. So Krishna also doesn't like puffed up devotees. In one sense, devotees are his family members. We're all part of, you know, Prabhupada said we're all part of Achyuta Gotra, right? Forget about what gotra you've got, or for those of us who don't even know, people ask Prabhupada, you know, the devotees say, people ask us, what's our gotra? Prabhupada say, you could say Achyuta Gotra. When we become devotees, that's our gotra. But we shouldn't become puffed up of our lineage. Yes, I'm a devotee. Although actually Prabhupada says we can be proud of being a devotee, but we shouldn't be puffed up. There's a bit of a difference, right? Is having pride in our lineage, having pride in the shelter of the spiritual master, for example, the instructions of the guru, that's something to be proud of. But at the same time, you know, we should be thinking ourselves insignificant. Prabhupada encouraged that. He said, yes, your insignificance is warranted and desirable. But because the yadus are puffed up, therefore they had to be removed. So this. Sridhar Swami has pointed out that the word bahubhi, by his arms, is used in the plural rather than the dual, to indicate that the Lord caused the destruction of the Yadu dynasty in his four-armed form. The original form of Krishna as Govinda is two-armed. But it was by the plenary portion of the four-armed Narayan that the Lord killed all the demons on the earth and ultimately removed the burdensome members of his own family. It may be asked, if certain members of the Yadu family had become indifferent to the will of the Lord, Why didn't they oppose the Lord in his plan to remove them from the earth? Therefore, the word apramea is used, which indicates that it is impossible for anyone, even the Lord's own family members, to understand his will completely. What's an example of that? Anybody think of an example of that? A very good example. That wasn't the exa- that may be an example, not the example that I'm thinking of. When Krishna stole, oh, not Krishna. When Lord Brahma stole the cowherd boys and calves, he manifested all the cowherd boys and calves as himself. Right? It took Balaram a year to work out what was going on. Right? It took Balaram a year to work out what was going on. One day he saw that the cowherd men and the elderly cows were walking under Govardhan Hill, and the calves and the boys were up on it was the other way around. And when the cowherd men and the cows saw the boys and the calves, they were so attracted they went running down Govardhan Hill. And then the cows were licking the calves, and the cowherd men were stroking and smelling the heads of the boys. And they were saying, then I was thinking, why are they so attracted to their... It's just as if they're a devotee in love with Krishna. He only saw that attraction in the devotees when they were attracted like that to Krishna. So then he thought, So this apramaya, it is very difficult for even Krishna's family members to understand Krishna's plan. What about us? Huh? When Maharaj Yudhisthira was bewildered after the battle of Kurukshetra, he was so upset that so many people had been killed just to put him on the throne. He was completely distressed, distraught. And nobody could instruct him. I think even Krishna tried to instruct him. So they took him to Bhishmadev. Bhishmadev lying on a bed of arrows, right? Shot full completely of arrows. Couldn't lie down himself because there were so many arrows sticking through him. So he was lying on the arrows, and he instructed Maharaj Yudhisthira. Actually, he was the only one who could pacify him. He was completely debilitated, yet totally transcendental, fully lucid, and fully versed with transcendental subject matter, transcendental knowledge. So he was able to explain to Maharaj Yudhisthira that actually all that had taken place was by the arrangement of Krishna. Yet, even though it was by the arrangement of Krishna, still, even the most elevated saints and sages, what to speak of Krishna's family members, can't understand what is his plan. Can't understand it. They only get an inkling. Only get a little... My realization is I usually find out what Krishna's plan is after it's all happened. Then I realize, oh, that's what Krishna wanted. And we're tested. But usually we're tested, and the test is basically not that we're a big devotee, but rather that we're a servant. This is the thing, really. This is how Krishna tests us. Krishna tests our sincerity by how much we're prepared to serve him without getting distracted. People may criticize, people may complain. In this case, his family members could say, we're your family members. What are you doing this to us for? We're your devotees. Some of the devotees feel like that. I'm your devotee. Why are you treating me like this? But as Lord Brahma says in the in the 10th canon of the Bhagavatam, 14th chapter, isn't it? You know, the devotee offers his obeisances with his words, with his mind, with his body to Krishna, even despite the calamities, despite the difficulties. Understanding that I may not know what Krishna's plan is, but certainly there is a plan, and it will be revealed to me in due course of time. I will understand what purpose Krishna has for myself, for all of us. So, the Yadu dynasties didn't oppose Krishna's removing them because they didn't know what he was doing. They weren't aware. He's apramaya. Apramaya means, the translation is unfathomable. Right? Unfathomable. This is one of Krishna's qualities. Right? Unfathomable. You don't know what he's thinking. What is Krishna thinking? We can't know. Apramaya is, in that sense, unknowable. Srila Jiva Goswami has given another reason for the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. Here's another reason. He emphasizes that the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead should never be taken to be ordinary material activities. You know, sometimes devotees get doubts and they say, how is it possible that Krishna can lift Govardhan Hill with his left hand and little finger? How is it possible? Nobody can do that. Right? Well, how is it possible? He's God. He can do what he likes. Huh? He can hold Govardhan Hill on his little finger and twirl it around, juggle it, spin it upside down, do what he wants. Because that's what God does. He can do anything. So his activities are not ordinary. And shouldn't, that's a big mistake. We think that God is an ordinary person, but he's not. He's the superlative person. Nor are the Lord's associates ordinary persons. So even though they're puffed up, we shouldn't think that they're ordinary. Although Lord Krishna apparently incarnates within this world for some time and then goes away, it should be understood that the Supreme Lord is eternally situated with his entourage in his various abodes in the spiritual sky, such as Sri Gokul, Mathura and Dwarka. The members of the Yadu dynasty are eternal associates of the Lord, and therefore they cannot bear to be separated from the Lord. Since Krishna was preparing to give up his earthly pastimes, if he were to leave the Yadu dynasty on the earth, they would surely become so disturbed by his absence that in their highly agitated state of mind, they would trample and destroy the world. Another reason why he had to. He removed them first before he removed them himself. Because if he had left, then the disturbance created by his disappearance would have created turmoil. Therefore, Krishna arranged the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty prior to his own disappearance. So in one sense, this section of the Bhagavatam is actually quite a sad section because it deals with Krishna's leaving the earthly abode. Of course, today we're celebrating Krishna's appearance. This is at the end of the pastimes. But today we're celebrating Krishna's appearance. Srila Jiva Goswami concludes that ultimately the members of the Yadu dynasty are never to be considered irreligious, so we shouldn't think of them as ordinary persons. Vaishnava Acharyas have mentioned that the story of the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty is especially meant to help the conditioned souls achieve liberation from the bondage of materialistic life. So this is the benefit of studying this particular pastime. Within the three worlds, there were none as powerful and opulent as the Yadu dynasty. We were reading the other day, there were 3 billion Brahmin teachers of Krishna's children. Right? Or was it 3 trillion? Anyway, a lot of people. Opulent. Incredibly opulent. More opulence than we could conceive of in this day and age. You know, we think that an Olympic opening ceremony is a big deal. Right? Oh, wow. But it's nothing compared to the opulence of the Yadus. The Supreme Person, you know, there's that picture of Dwarka, and there's the demigods coming in their swan aeroplanes to Dwarka just to visit Krishna and the kings of Dwarka. Right. Now that's opulence. That's an opening ceremony. Right? When the demigods come to visit your place, right? That's opulence. So the demigods were coming, the rishis were coming to see Krishna. That's the kind of place that Dwarka was. So, unlimitedly opulent. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the possessor of unlimited opulence, beauty, strength, knowledge, fame, and so on. And the members of the Yadu dynasty, being the personal associates of the Lord, were also endowed with inconceivable opulences, just like we see in the association of the devotees. Even we have a little bit of opulence, but inconceivably so, given by Krishna. And very attractive. Therefore, when we see how a fratricidal war suddenly deprived the members of the Yadu dynasty of all of their earthly possessions and even their lives, we can understand that there is no permanent position within this material world. Nobody. Even for Krishna and his associates, don't stay in the material world permanently. In other words, although the members of the Yadu dynasty are eternal associates of the Lord and were immediately transferred to another planet where the Lord was appearing, this sudden disappearance through fratricidal war is meant to impress upon the conditioned souls the temporary nature of this world. Therefore, the apparent indifference or enmity of certain members of the Yadu dynasty toward Krishna should not be taken to be actual irreligion on their part. The entire situation was arranged by Lord Krishna to teach a lesson to the conditioned souls. In this connection, Srila Jiva Goswami has cited several verses from the Bhagavatam to prove that the members of the Yadu dynasty achieved their exalted birth in the Lord's own family by innumerable pious activities and by complete absorption in thought of Lord Krishna. So that means they're, you know, manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru. They're great devotees. The entire situation was arranged by Lord Krishna to teach a lesson to the conditioned souls. Oh, here's a good one. In fact, it is said that in sleeping, sitting, walking and speaking, they were unable to remember their own selves, because they were simply thinking of Krishna. Right. How many of us are so absorbed in thinking of Krishna that we forget ourselves? We usually thinking about ourselves, not Krishna. And then we qualify that by saying, well, I'm part and parcel of Krishna, so it's okay to think about myself. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.15.33, Srila Prabhupada has commented as follows on the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty. The setting of the sun does not mean the end of the sun. It means that the sun is out of our sight. Similarly, the end of the mission of the Lord on a particular planet or universe only means that he is out of our sight. The end of the Yadu dynasty also does not mean that it is annihilated. It disappears along with the Lord out of our sight. So today we're celebrating the appearance. So Krishna was out of sight, but then just like the sun comes up in the morning, then on his appearance day 24 years ago, Krishna appeared. in order to set this whole process, this whole set of pastimes in motion. To destroy the demons, but ultimately to protect the devotees, especially the residents of Vrindavan. Main purpose was actually to come and associate with the very pure-hearted devotees of Vrindavan. And the unique feature of the devotees of Vrindavan, especially as illustrated or as exemplified by the devotees of Vrindavan, their mood was always in a mood of service to Krishna and service to the devotees. In fact, that mood of service was so attracting to Krishna, so attractive. Devotional service is part of the internal potency of Krishna, and it attracts Krishna. It is so attractive that Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya so he could taste some of it himself. Huh? Being a servant of Krishna is so attractive to Krishna that he wonders, what is it that my devotees see in me and my service that makes them so addicted to me, attracted to me? So I want to taste that. Huh? So in one sense, Krishna's pastimes demonstrate, yes, that he's the Ekali Ishvara Krishna. He's the supreme controller. But actually, the supreme controller gets controlled by his devotees' love and service. That attracts Krishna. So in Krishna's pastimes, we see that, especially in the Vrindavan Leela, we see the intimate dealings between Krishna and his devotees, and how much Krishna is actually attracted to that mood of service, that serving mood, selfless serving. Nadanam najanam nasundurim kavitamba jagadisha kamaye mama jamani jamanishvare bhavatad bhakti hoitiki twayi. In that mood of service, then Lord Chaitanya prays, I don't want any wealth, I don't want any position, I don't want any followers, I don't want any fame. You know, why don't the devotees want these things? Because they understand it's all just temporary. Just like here, even for the yadus. Just a temporary situation. So why get attracted to, you know, these ephemeral things of material existence? Because they're just gone. I was talking to a school group the other day, and they were asking me, why do you shave your head? So one of the reasons why we shave our head is because, you know, when we're young, we think we're beautiful. You know, you walk down the street and you look in the mirrors of the shop windows just to see, still looking cool. But how long does that beauty last? For a few years in youth, right? It lasts. But it's flickering. It's gone within a flash. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why we shave off our good looks. Of course, when we get older, it's another thing. It's an advantage to have a bald head. You see that? There's quite a few men who walk around with bald heads because most of this area here doesn't have any hair on it anyway. So this is our good looks. So, you know, the devotees are not a... Well, sometimes we do become bewildered and we're attracted to those things, but actually in pure devotional service, the service itself is so attractive for the devotee and for Krishna that satisfies them. Satisfies Krishna, or attracts Krishna. He's attracted to that. And for the devotee, it's also satisfying. There is nothing more satisfying for the devotee than to be able to be engaged in devotional service. Ahoitiki apratihata yayatma supracidity. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. This is real satisfaction, is to be engaged in this causeless and unmotivated devotional service. And we see that in Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, especially in the character of the devotees, Paritranaya Sadhanam, the devotees that Krishna appears to exchange these loving, intimate dealings, friendship, servitorship, parental relationship, conjugal relationships, all of these relationships in Vrindavan allow Krishna to, in exchanging with his devotees, demonstrate the potency of pure devotional service and how relishable and how satisfying that those exchanges are between Krishna and the devotees. And that's why Krishna from time to time needs to adjust us, rectify us, tweak us, you know, shake us around a little bit sometimes, because we lose that humble mood of servitor. That's the basis, basically, for us. The basis of any of the higher relationships with Krishna is all in servitude. Yeah. Although, you know, humble pie is a bittersweet sometimes to swallow. It's a tough pie to swallow. But that's Trinada Pisa Nichana Tarora Pisa Hishnana, as mentioned, Lord Chaitanya prays. You know, we need that. So sometimes Krishna, here in this case, even though the Yadus are very special personalities and we shouldn't treat see them as ordinary people, still there's this principle of showing a little bit of puffed upness, a little bit of contemptuousness for Krishna's plan or for Krishna's service. And Krishna needs to remove that. So he removes that from the devotees. It's part of his plan. Well, I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes. Anaji.
I was just wondering, what is the real reason that they have to go in this
other planet where Krishna was going? Or was it because there was some impurity? Some naughtiness. Well, it seems to me that Krishna has the next location to, you know, Prabhupada says it's like a travelling roadshow, right? And it needs to, like the circus goes from town to town, so you know they pack up, then the advance party goes ahead and finds the place and sets up the, you know, the tent and everything, right? So it's a bit like that, you know. There may be some impurities manifest as part of the pastime, but we understand that the Yadus are very special personalities. They're always devotees. They're eternal associates of the Lord. So in that sense, you know, they don't have impurities. But for the Leela, and for our edification, for our instruction, that's an external reason for removing them. But there are other reasons as well. You know, Krishna, when Krishna's doing something, it's always a multi-threaded plan going on, right? It's not just one thing, it's not even two things or three things, but it's many, many things going on all at once. So, you know, he's packing up the roadshow and then moving the advance party on so that they can go and set up in the next place, right? They have to take birth and do things, right? Now, the interesting thing is that we can get an opportunity to take part in that. Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book that the devotees don't go back to Godhead immediately, right? But rather what they do is they get an opportunity to take birth on that planet where Krishna is performing his pastimes, and in that way they then get an opportunity to associate with the eternal associates of Krishna, and thereby their association also become eligible to become eternal associates, right? So Krishna sends his eternal associates forward to the next location to set up camp and to do all the things that are needed to set up the scene for the next set of pastimes. At the same time, he creates an opportunity for those devotees who have become purified by devotional service to take birth in those families of those eternal associates of the Lord, and then by their associate be perfect, by their association, then be perfected in their practice of devotional service. Then it becomes spontaneous. You know, it's just love for Krishna then. So I think the answer to the question is yes to both. There was some fault, apparently, so that had to be fixed up, but they're also eternal associates and they need to be moved on to the next location for the next Leela. Yes, Abhishek. What was that? The who? The Nityananda Vamsas. Do we consider... Nityananda Vamsa. I don't know a lot about the Nityananda Vamsa, but as far as Prabhupada mentions, they deviated, right? They deviated. And they try to establish their spiritual position based on just their hereditary position. But Prabhupada says is not valid. Right? Now, are they like the Yadus? I think not. Similar in that they're, you know, family descendants, but in relationship perhaps a little different. They help add to the confusion of Kali Yuga. So I guess part of Krishna's plan, you know, and eventually their pastimes were also wound up too, maybe not as in a dramatic fashion, you know, because it's quite dramatic what the others do to each other. You know, they go for a picnic, they go for a picnic somewhere, they drink too much wine, and they beat each other to death. Now that's sort of like, from an ordinary perspective, that's just like, wow. You know, that's just so far out. Inconceivable. Right? You know, when Krishna does things, he certainly does it in very interesting ways. But, you know, they must be different. The Yadus were immense, you know, super powerful, super opulent, super influential. In Chaitanya Leela, all of the devotees manifest a different kind of an opulence. They don't manifest the opulence of power and, you know, glory, you know, but they manifest the symptoms of Brahminical culture, of learning, of saintliness, basically. That's the qualities that the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya demonstrate, right? Very devotional, very merciful, very, it's Brahminical culture, right? Whereas, you know, Krishna's pastime, certainly Vaishya culture as in his childhood, right? I mean, this is just externally, and then later on as a Kshatriya. So as Kshatriyas, super powerful. You know, nobody could knock them off their perch. Right? The others were super powerful. Anybody get in a fight with them, that's, you're finished. Basically, most powerful. So, but you know, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda didn't display that opulence of the Godhead, of you know, Aishvarya. You could say Aishvarya. Kingship, you know, Kshatriya qualities. But they demonstrated the qualities of humility and compassion and learning. Not that the Yadus weren't, you know, also displaying those qualities. They're just doing it in a different way, as a Kshatriya. So quite different. So there's no need to, you know, just get rid of them, because their influence was less. Although they would go on to create confusion in devotional culture, by preaching a bogus philosophy. But that we can see is that's part of Kali Yuga.
I was just going to say, it was interesting what you said about the Prabhupada prophesizing the nuclear war.
Yeah.
Because apparently, I saw a documentary on this subject, and apparently the order was given by like the top echelons of the Russian military to launch. To press the button to launch an all-out nuclear assault. And the person in charge of it on the submarine. It's like didn't press the button. There was like they actually given the order, and
they didn't do it, or it didn't work.
Yeah.
They pressed the button, but nothing happened. Yeah, and even now it's, you know, at the moment things are quite precarious in the world geopolitical scene, so called, right? And Prabhupada does mention that, you know, the demons have got the weapons and they will use them. They will use them. Yeah.
Yes. So I think that eternal associates, they go to another place and then they start their work there.
Yeah.
And like, are they not willing to go back to Godhead?
Well, from my understanding, they actually haven't left, right? And in fact, this, you know, it's pretty amazing, because you'll see that in some cases they're in more than one pastime, right? So you've got, you know, a devotee is in Chaitanya Leela, he's in Krishna Leela, and he's also in Ram Leela. So not only is he not in the spiritual world apparently, but he's in, you know, he's with Lord Ramchandra, he's with Lord Chaitanya, and he's with Krishna in all of the different pastimes. So, you know, try and work out, are they back to Godhead, are they with Krishna, are they with Lord Chaitanya, are they with Lord Ramchandra, what's going on? They're all over the place. And even Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, I spoke this knowledge to the sun god, you know, many millions of years before, and you were there. So Arjuna heard the Bhagavad Gita when he was with Krishna performing his pastimes of speaking the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god, Vibhishvan, right? Is that right? So, you know, it's a bit hard to work out where the eternal associates of Krishna actually are. Where are they? They're always with Krishna, that's for sure. That's pretty, you know, if you think about it, it's quite interesting meditation. Doesn't quite fit into our material understanding of things. Well, they're eternally with Krishna, so they're not actually considered to be in the material world. They're still actually in the spiritual pastimes of Krishna. That's a good question. Do they ever go back home, back to Godhead, or have they left? You've got the answer? No? Maybe our learned sadhus might like to give us some enlightenment on that question. Who'd like to say?
Maybe it could just be a position, Robert.
Maybe. Maybe means we don't know. But yeah, no. My understanding is that they're present in all places, in those, just like Krishna doesn't leave the spiritual world. When he comes to the material, when he manifests his pastimes in Gokul, that doesn't mean he's left Goloka. Huh? Does it? Huh? There's a sign up, you know, gone to planet Earth. back in 130 years' time. Right? People put a sign up on the front door, gone fishing. Right? Gone to the material world for a bit of fun with my friends in Vrindavan. You know, you come to Goloka, right, and it's empty. What happened? I spent all that time trying to go back home, back to Godhead, and I got there and Krishna wasn't there. He'd gone to the material world to have fun with his friends. I missed out. So that my understanding is that, you know, see, this is inconceivable. Krishna and his devotees, their character is inconceivable, such that he can be in the spiritual world eternally, but at the same time, he manifests his pastimes, which are non-different, in the material world. Right? And the reason why he does that is to attract us back to the spiritual world, where he's still performing those pastimes. Now, that for us, to try to work all of that out logically and reasonably, you know, because it just doesn't fit into our, you know, you just can't conceive of that, because it is inconceivable. But that's how it, that's a mystery.
So the eternal associates have some attachment apart from Krishna sometimes?
They say what?
Eternal associates of Lord, do they have some attachment
for Krishna?
Other than Krishna?
Well, there are some examples of that. Generally not. But there are some examples of devotees who, by bad association, fell down from their relationship with Krishna. Right? There's Banasura, who was the son of Bhumi. Isn't it? Banasura was the son of Bhumi, and who I can't remember the details, but I think he was part of Ramchandra's pastimes and he committed an offence. I can't remember the details, but so that then in Krishna Lila he actually became an enemy of Krishna. But there are examples. I can't think of it exactly right now, but there are examples of personalities who have had a spiritual relationship with Krishna, but due to offences, got into a position where they actually became a demon. Right? So, yes, the answer is yes, it can happen that a devotee becomes distracted from service to Krishna by bad association. We know that already. We can all put our hands up and say, yes, I know that. Or, I'm finding it out. I'm learning. I'm a slow learner, but I'm learning. Anything else? Okay. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Krishna Janmashtami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.